We're talking about a framework for improving Latino community health in an era of health reform. And the other great institution I'm affiliated with is Latino Coalition for a Healthy California. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. LCHC was founded in 1992 with Bob and myself and a lot of other illustrious Latinos that have been active in APHA and many other organizations, and we're really pleased to be able to present this information to you because it is a groundbreaking effort. I don't have any relationships to disclose, commercial relationships, but LCHC is a grantee of the California Endowment. I'm not the program manager directly because that's kind of a conflict of interest, but I do make grants all around LCHC, and we do a lot of support for it. LCHC convened a Blue Ribbon panel about a year ago when we first became involved with how the Affordable Care Act is going to create new inroads in California for creating equity. And that's really what this is about, is finding opportunity in the Affordable Care Act's application. Many of you already know that California is the first state to implement ACA and go for implementation. And the reason it did that has Latinos behind a lot of that reasoning. It's the largest state by far, has the most uninsured by far, among whom Latinos are by far the largest uninsured population. So it has the most at stake with regard to the ACA and why it should be implemented. And it also has the most to gain. And the same goes for Latinos in California. So LCHC decided to bring together people who could inform a dialogue and inform a posture with a Latino perspective about the ACA, how it ought to be implemented in this giant state with all of these Latinos and all of these things at stake that would make a difference for the lives of Latinos and Latino communities and ultimately for the well-being in California. And we were able to come to consensus around some general principles. Basically, it was the principles that founded Latino Coalition for a Healthy California that surfaced in this new framework for how the ACA ought to be implemented. And it went beyond that because it thought, you know, we certainly believe the ACA is insufficient to describe all of the needs for improving health for Latinos in the state, such as not covering the undocumented. We'll get into that, but clearly we wanted to make sure that the health benefit exchange and the authorities that are making the decisions, the policy decisions about how the ACA is being implemented, have the clarity of what Latinos need and want. So we base this a lot on expert opinion, frankly. We used evidence that we had immediately available. But when you come to a policy table, you go there with an advocacy in mind and an intention in mind that is informed by your own level of expertise. And so we used collective expertise to come to these kinds of consensus around these points. Now, there's a lot of points in these PowerPoints, and I'm not going to read every single one because that would bore you to tears. But I do want to make some of these points apparent to you because I think the sentiment and the spirit is there. And I think it represents what we as Latinos nationwide want to look for in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Or if the worst possible thing happens in next week and the ACA maybe doesn't exist in a few more months, there will also be opportunity to do much of these same kinds of things with or without or around the ACA, because, in fact, you can't ignore these issues, and the American public will not stand for losing some of these gains that have already been made. So first things, we wanted to recognize that we're providing resources and reach to improve health equity in Latino communities through the ACA. That's really very apparent. Equity is something that's mentioned in the Affordable Care Act language itself, disparities, and the aim really is to address those. And as I told you, we have Latinos comprising this largest group of potential beneficiaries, but unfortunately not covering undocumented immigrants. We have a tremendous stake in making sure that what happens out of the ACA serves both. Not one, not the other, both, because we have to be completely inclusive of our population. So the provisions about coverage, access, prevention, care coordination, population health, offer public health providers and advocates for healthier communities a broad range of levers for improving health care and the health status of all residents. It's not just about insurance coverage, folks. I think you understand that. There's a lot more to health reform than that. So the implementation of the ACA is an imperative, but it's also highly vulnerable. Politically, it's on the ropes. Frankly, the federal budget is making it very difficult to keep a hold of the gains money-wise that have already been put in there. Case in point is the Prevention and Public Health Fund that has been a whipping boy of sorts and a source of funds that that one of the parties has gone after to take money out of repeatedly. But the policy and system and social change beyond health care coverage has been derided in a sense, that that it's been made light of in terms of the social norms change that we'd want to get out of making people more equal, out of getting everybody health coverage, out of getting people's communities changed so that they're healthier. And some who want to make political fodder out of that have actually ridiculed that as a goal. It's not in their mindset. It has more to do with a spirit of individualism or whatever else drives their politics. It isn't social welfare. It isn't social good or social justice. So, again, we've had this tremendous opportunity to get behind an act that is embodying a lot of the spirit of at least what LCHC stands for and what I would say American Public Health Association also stands for. And we want to make sure that it gets implemented and implemented in its full spirit to the extent possible. So extending the coverage to an estimated 3.9 million Californians includes over 2 million Latinos. It's huge in our state, and it's huge across the country for Latinos, but it leaves behind millions of undocumented. These limitations compel us to have a robust healthcare safety net. Those are the community clinics, basically. These are the places where our people tend to gravitate toward if they don't have any other means of coverage other than the emergency rooms. And we're trying to drive people toward community clinics for primary care, for health homes, because that's a lot more efficient and effective and economical, frankly, and more humane for their continuity of care. So we need to make sure that safety net is robust. And fortunately, ACA has poured it to the community clinics in terms of millions and millions of dollars for expansion. And so that's a great benefit to the Latino communities. And in terms of, again, gaining equity, people that can sustain access, whether undocumented or not, benefit from that. This state-only programs also is an opportunity that it needs to surround the ACA. Now, leaving out certain benefits in certain populations is something that has been a state decision. States have the prerogative to fill in those gaps, and we as Latinos go to bat for saying fill in those gaps and make sure that women get all appropriate reproductive care and benefits, and make sure that undocumented people have many access points and so forth. And then this shared responsibility between public and nonprofit providers, so that we don't have just one hospital system or one health system getting the brunt of everybody that's uninsured or undocumented or are at high risk for health, like medical centers that are in the middle of a downtown sector where most of the homeless people and people with a lot of health risks happen to live, to get the largest share of a disadvantaged population. And we want to make sure that doesn't happen, that there's more equity in the system itself. And it has to create meaningful access to services. And Latino organizations themselves need to be involved in the decision-making and in balancing what's important to inform what's going to be helpful. The application and enrollment systems have to be accessible through outreach workers, and we need to use strategies that benefit from the trusted sources like our promotoras in the field and others that have long represented us. That presents risks and opportunities for funding and for also protecting these linkages between clinical care and public health, so that we can make sure there's greater continuity. and expanding the models and developing systems so that they're home-based and team-based care and prevention models, such as through the Community Transformation Grant, gets promulgated, and the Health and All Policies approach as well, because this really is what gets to the heart of equity through the social determinants of health. So full funding for the Prevention and Public Health Act will give us these opportunities so that these projects can come to what they're supposed to do. And then this broad multicultural workforce, we have an idea here in California that it would be made much more powerful if we were to turn the pyramid that's currently at the top. You have the highest paid health professionals not necessarily working at the top of their licensure, but at their bottom. And at the bottom, you have so much community information that needs to be given in community need that gets very little of the funding. We want to turn that upside down and have legions of community outreach workers, people who are in the field helping people to be tremendously better informed consumers and empowering communities to advocate on their behalf for better community conditions. So research, evaluation, and accountability all have to have a focus on Latinos and equity and include the community-based research that will reflect what kinds of changes, what kinds of models are the best. And essential partners in improving it, we got to be empowered as consumers to manage our care, but also as civic advocates. That means voting. That means being there for improving communities. Are we making progress? Yes. We've included increased awareness and support. We've had over 300,000 new enrollees in precursor low-income health programs. We have $385 million have expanded over 1,200 community clinics in California alone, also from the ACA and communities, millions of dollars affecting millions of Latinos about community transformation grants. And Latino policymakers are stepping forward and advocacy organizations to improve the conditions in places where people live, work, and play. And these are the steps, leveraging partnership, health equity advocacy, building capacity, youth leadership, and changing the narrative has created an opportunity then for us to turn the table on this. And here are some resources for you. Love to answer questions when we're through. Thank you.
I forgot to mention.